Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for pushing past the elements to get here. It's getting increasingly nastier out there, but thanks for making your way and bringing your bodies and all of yourselves into this place this morning. We're better when we get together, so thanks for making that happen. I don't know what this means, but I was just observing when Pastor Coach was doing the announcements that the women's retreat got a hearty response. And the marriage intensive got minimal response. So I don't know what that means. We'll do some thinking about that, some praying. We'll try to figure out what that means. But two really cool things coming up. So would love to have you guys join into that. We'll talk about the marriage thing here just a little bit as we dig in to this morning. But good things coming up. So if you're new here, if you have just decided in the last week or so, maybe this is your first week, like special welcome to you. Just want to let you know that every year we kind of like pick a theme that we feel like the Lord is like kind of like steering us directionally towards. And this year, the theme that we'll be in and out of all through 2025 is the kingdom. And the kingdom essentially is the cool thing that breaks out anywhere human beings submit to the rule and the reign of God. It's a beautiful thing, right? The kingdom of God. And so to get us moving in the direction of kingdom thinking, it's been the last 6 weeks now, kind of the theme that we've been running with is that apprenticeship or discipleship, as it's commonly called in the church, but apprenticeship or discipleship is the pathway that leads us in to the kingdom. And the kingdom is like the full abundant life that God wants to lead us into. So here's where we've been the last 6 weeks. Cliff notes just to catch you up. The idea has been this, that God is the master at abundant living. John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that you might have life abundant. Well, God is the one who is fully alive. Like he nails that skill 100% of the time. Everything he does is 100% fully alive. And as such, as the master at abundant living, what God wants to do is he wants to teach us the family trade, right? God primarily calls himself our father. He has so many other things for us, but the primary relationship he invites us into is he is father and we are son and daughter. And as such, in the family business, he wants us to apprentice under him to learn the skill of abundant living. And that God is very personal and present in all of this. And we're going to dig into more of that this morning. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Acts chapter 16. If you don't, that's just fine. I will read it. But in Acts chapter 16, I want us to look into a story here about the personal presence of God as he tutors us and mentors us in the skill of living fully alive lives, right? And seeking to enter us into more and more of the kingdom that he is establishing on earth. Acts chapter 16 in verse 6, the book of Acts is the early church erupting all through the Roman Empire, the Mediterranean context, but the church, the early church is spreading like wildfire. And one of the focal points of the book of Acts is a guy by the name of Paul and his little team of disciples of his own, and they're going all over the place taking the good news everywhere they go. And so in Acts chapter 16 verse 6, we get a glimpse into some of the particulars of Paul and his team as they're moving, bringing the gospel all throughout the Roman Empire. But here we go, Acts chapter 16 verse 6 goes like this. And they, Paul and his little band of disciple making team here, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, so Paul and his team are going through Phrygia and Galatia. Why? Because the Holy Spirit forbade them to take the good news to Asia. It's an interesting thought here, right? I don't know about you, but I, over the course of my life, I have been forbidden from doing lots of things. Most of the things that I've been forbidden from doing have been things that are not good for human beings to do, right? With my kids, I never forbid them from eating carrots. I never forbid them from exercising. I never forbid them from doing things that I think will actually be good for them. But what Paul is being forbidden of is, Paul, you are not allowed to preach the gospel in Asia right now. Any basketball fans in the house? Right? There's some of us, but follow me here. Of a generation past, in the 1980s and early 90s, there was a basketball player by the name of Dikembe Mutombo. And he was Nigerian, had a cool accent, and he was a rim protector, meaning if you took the ball to the hoop, Dikembe Mutombo's goal was to block your shot, and he did it a lot. And every time Dikembe Mutombo would block a shot, he had this trademark signature move that would be meant to discourage you from ever trying to go to the rim and make a shot again. And this is what he would do. He would wag his finger and say, no, no, no. And he's actually in commercials as the no, no, no guy, right? Think about it. Paul, once with his team, he wants to take the good news of Jesus to Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. Let's move on. Verse 7. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So here again, Paul wants to go to another place. He's trying to go now, can't get into Asia. Now he's trying to go to Bithynia to preach the gospel. And the Lord says, no, no, no. Gives him a little finger wag, like you ain't going there. Now, I just want to make a couple of points here just for us to lean into. Just remember, what Paul is seeking to do here with his team, when he's trying to go into Asia, what he wants to do is good. He's trying to bless those people. As Paul is trying to go into Bithynia, he's seeking to do good there. No, 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 Paul. Right? It's not as if Paul and his team are on the move looking for non-secure daycare centers to steal fruit snacks. He's not maliciously intending to do wrong or harm anywhere he goes. He's only wanting to do good. And the Lord says, no, no, no to Asia, no, no, no to Bithynia. Just a reminder that what Paul and his team are doing here is they are moving in line with their calling. Paul is like called by God the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is to take the good news of Jesus to the non-Jewish people all over the world, and he is to start fledgling churches in all of the places where the gospel begins to take hold. That's everything that Paul is seeking to do in Acts chapter 16. He's not walking outside of his vocational call. He's walking in the epicenter of it. And the Lord says, no, 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 not there, not for you. And last thing here, I just want us to see this. The context here, we just started out in verse 6. In verse 5, go up one verse ahead of all the things where before the Lord says no, no, no. Here's what Luke tells us about Paul and his team. Verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. Which means that Paul and his team, everywhere they go, they're seeing fruitfulness. They're seeing good come out of all the work that they're doing, and they just want to go and do more good things in Asia, more things in Bithynia. Both times the Lord says, no, 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 you're not going to go there. So the Lord says no to Paul's desire to do good in his calling as he's being fruitful in Asia and Bithynia. Why? Why is the Lord making it so difficult for Paul to do what he was made to do? Verse 8. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Paul's just trying to figure out, all right, what do we do? He keeps moving. He's on the move. And then verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. He had a nighttime dream of deep significance. Here's the vision that he had in his sleep. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, this is Luke, part of the team here, when Paul had seen this vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here's the thing I want us to see about apprenticeship this morning. Regarding our apprenticing under Father God and Jesus, his Son, and the Spirit of God who tutors us all the time. Right? Regarding apprenticeship, there's a huge difference between us, let's put it like this, living our lives with information about God. That's one way that we do it. There's a big difference between us living our lives with information about God, which is different than us living our lives with God, personal and present. I think it's possible for us as followers of Jesus to try to live our lives with information about God when what God wants is for us to live life with Him, personally and present. Right? Let's just explore this for a little bit. Right? In the world we live in right now, artificial intelligence is the rage. Right? Everybody is talking about it. Maybe I don't know what circles you run in, but anytime you read anything in business, culture, artificial intelligence is the thing that we are fascinated by. And the reason why we're fascinated by that is because artificial intelligence right now has the ability beyond any human mind to compile and gather information that has already been discovered and put it into some sort of concise form that's digestible and understandable. And for those that are into AI, and I am not, I'm a novice here, but there's this hope that artificial intelligence will now in the future not just be able to take things that we've learned and compile them, but actually begin to now knowing what we know, that they would be able to generate new information, right? And the reason why so many people are excited about this is because we have this deep-seated belief that if we have more information, then what that will do is it will be a gateway for us to have a better life. If we just know more, then we will have a more abundant and full and meaningful life. Or when I was growing up, one of the key phrases was knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And on so many levels it is. I'm not arguing against this, right? But we are fascinated with knowledge and information. And it is possible for us, and I think it's altogether common for us to take this very culturally centric emphasis on information and this belief that information will be the pathway for us to arrive in good places. We take this idea and we apply it to our approach to discipleship. And so what we do as disciples of Jesus is we seek to master information. We read Christian books, information about spiritual things. And we can watch videos by experts and get information about spiritual things and God and life and psychology and all manner of things. And there's computer programs that we can go through to get information. I was just talking to somebody this week and I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but like this is how far we've taken it. With the discipleship of our children in churches, sometimes what we do is we want to put information into the heads of our kids, and then the way that we're going to test and see if we've done a good job of getting information into their brains is we're going to stick them in Bible quizzing, where now we can do the other American thing and get people competing against one another to see who's better, and we'll see which church has done a better job at getting information in the brains of a child, material that they've mastered and learned in their thinking, and we're going to quiz them on it. It's a very American thing. I don't know that the Apostle Paul was setting up Bible quizzing as he's going from town to town establishing the good news, but that's what we do in our culture. But apprenticeship, discipleship is inherently and necessarily interpersonal. There's relationship there, and the apprenticing is founded on the personal relationship, right? We've got our educational models, and they're primarily material-centered, knowledge material-centric. Let's contrast that with, we'll say, typically, over the last 300-400 years, what has been arguably the greatest learning institution in the world, Oxford University, Oxford, England. Here's how they do education in Oxford, and it's philosophically different than how most of us in the Western world do it. We want to master material, learn the material, because we think knowledge is power and it's going to lead us to our best life. Here's how Oxford does it differently. Oxford does learning interpersonally. It's the foundation of their learning model is relational. Here's what they do at Oxford. They will take a small group of students, 1 to 3 students, and they will stick you in a room with a master. A master of what? Well, whatever you're studying, they'll put you in a room with the master, and you will dialogue and talk and hash out in real, live, interpersonal ways the things that you were working through on your own. So here's how it will work. Let's say we were to go back in time 60 years, and let's say I were taking a class on story generation, writing stories, and I'm at Oxford, right? You're at Oxford, we're in a class together. So here's what would happen. We would then, in taking this class, we would have work to do in that field outside of the class. And so I would start writing a story, and you would start writing a story. And as we're writing the story, regularly, you and I, with our small group, we would then go to our tutorial time with J.R.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis. Are you kidding me? Masters in the trade of story writing. And so we would go, we would sit down. Like, we're not reading Mere Christianity or reading Tolkien. We're sitting with them. We're in the room. And then I would say, hey, here, Professor Tolkien, here's what I'm doing. I got these characters. I'm centering in on 3. And here's the location of the story. And here's my plot line. And here's what I'm thinking about it. I'm struggling with this one part. What do you think about this? And then regarding the story that I am writing, J.R.R. Tolkien would speak into that. And then I would hear what he has to say about it. And then I would get to ask him questions about it. Like, okay, so you think I should tweak this character here? Why would you recommend me tweaking this character? And he'd explain it. And there's this like robust, interpersonal back and forth with the master, which is very different than reading the Literary Guide to Story Writing by J.R.R. Tolkien by myself in my room on my own. Do you see the difference between material-centric learning and interpersonal relationship-centric learning? What an amazing opportunity it would be to learn in this Oxford style. Now, here's a question for us. Oxford has been around for several hundred years. What an amazing educational approach they have. Where in the world did they learn that? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, and I'll show you where Oxford got their educational approach, the interpersonal apprenticeship, discipleship model of education. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Here's the context. Jesus has just sent his disciples out to do ministry in Israel, in geographic, ethnic Israel. And they're out, and they're going out 2 by 2. They're doing their thing, right? They're working on their short stories. And then after they're finished with their little mission trip, then they all come back together. And that's where we pick up verse 10 of Luke 9. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all the things that they had done. Professor Tolkien, in my story, I got 3 characters. Here's the place. Here's what I'm thinking. This happened. What do you think? It's what they're doing. So the apostles tell Jesus all the things that they had done. And Jesus then took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. The Oxford tutorial model is right here in Luke chapter 9. The guys are out doing their thing. They're learning because Jesus told them, gave them instructions. You guys go do these things. Then they come back together and Jesus is now like working through with them the things that they did, the things they saw, the problems they had, the victories. And Jesus is speaking in to all of that Oxford tutorial style. The idea here is that Jesus calls his disciples to him and he spends time mentoring them. They are his apprentices for 3 years. Jesus is with these guys in the Oxford tutorial classroom, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's no Bible quizzing here with Jesus and the disciples, just life on life. Now, if you've been sleeping up until this point, I'd like to invite you to wake up, because here is a massive point that I want us to land on us. And then after I'm done with this, you can go back to sleep. Totally fine if that's you. Most of you are not asleep, but I just want everybody awake right now. Here's the point. I want us to see this in the book of Acts, in general discipleship, apprenticeship, all across the board. Here's the point. Apprentices can either encourage their master or discourage their master regarding their formation and development. The apprentice has the ability to turn the dial up for their master to speak more, download more, give more, help more. But the apprentice, us, also have the ability to turn down the dial so that we limit the master's ability to speak into our lives and develop us and mentor us and mold us. Let me put it like this. I think this will make that point clear. Let's say I were to go to Oxford, and I had the opportunity to sit in a room with one of the world's preeminent astrophysicists. Oxford-style tutorial opportunity. Me and the astrophysicist mano e mano, or mano e woman ano, whatever the woman form of that is. Whoever it is, two of us in the room. And then this is what the master would say. Well, actually, let's say the conversation goes like this. I sit down and I say, whoa, like you're like a leading world expert in astrophysics, right? And they say, yes, I am. And I say, cool, awesome. Teach me something, dude. Okay, probably not what they hear at Oxford a lot of the time, but let's say then this would be the astrophysicist's expert response to me. They would say, well, Brian, why don't you tell me what you were doing in the field of astrophysics? Let me know what you're working on right now. And that question is an invitation for them to know, on the scale of astrophysics, from like 101 freshman college to like their next of kin, number two in the world, they want to know where I am and what I'm working on, because if I can show them where I am and what I'm working on, what I've now done is I've built an on-ramp from them to me in regards to astrophysics. They're just trying to get handles on where I am so that they can join me where I am. Because if I'm at 101 level and they go next of like best in the world, I'm going to get drowned in knowledge. I'm not ready for that. And if I'm next, like next in line, if I'm like number two in the world astrophysicist and they're number one and they go 101 level on me, then we're not talking about the right thing. So I'm letting them know what it is we need to talk about as I say, here's what I'm doing in astrophysics. But let's say, like they say, all right, Brian, what are you doing in astrophysics? Trying to figure out where the conversation should go. And then this is what I say in response to them. I say, whoa, astrophysics? Yeah, dude. My zodiac sign's Scorpio. Yeah. All right, now, teach me something. Do you know what I've just done? I have discouraged the leading astrophysicists in the world from being able to give me anything regarding astrophysics. I have not built for them an on-ramp, because astrology is not in the realm of sciences. It's not an on-ramp for a real rigorous astrophysicist. I've discouraged them. I've said to them, I am not positioned in a place to receive anything that you have of value to give. No on-ramp. No place for them to jump in. And so what happens now is that tutorial, that opportunity that I have interpersonally with one of the leading astrophysicists in the world, it's going nowhere. Not because that is not a person who could take us somewhere, but because I'm not a person who is able to go anywhere with them. In Acts chapter 16, here's what Paul is doing. Paul is walking in his calling to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Are there Gentiles in Asia? You betcha. Are there Gentiles in Bithynia? You betcha. Paul is working on his short story. He's working on character development. He knows he and Tolkien are going to connect, but he's being faithful to do what he knows he is supposed to do. He is presenting on-ramps to his master to speak with and interact with him. In addition to being faithful to what he is supposed to be doing in the world, Paul is feasting on the Word of God, the Old Testament Word that exists, and the other feasting he's doing is on the Word that the Spirit is downloading to him to be given to other churches that we read and work through regularly. So Paul is feasting on the Word. He's praying constantly. He's in community with other disciples. He's being faithful to that which he knows he should be faithful to. And now, a very clear on-ramp has been built between him and his mentor. And his mentor says, "Hey, Paul, you're doing great. Thanks for the on-ramp. Appreciate it. Let's keep doing what you're doing. We're just going to do it in Macedonia. Appreciate the proactive effort to go to Asia, Bithynia. I love your heart. It's awesome. No, about those places. Because what I've got for you right now, next in this season of your life, is we're going to go reach those in Macedonia." The Lord has something to grab a hold of in Paul. With Paul, it's like Paul is so faithful as an apprentice that the Lord is like excited about, "Yeah, I can engage with you, Paul. Yeah." But for some of us, sometimes, like, we want to hear from the Lord. And the Lord's like, "All right, we're in the room. Let's talk." And we're like, "Hey, dude, teach me, show me something cool, dude." And the Lord's like, "I don't, like, what are you working on?" "I don't know, dude. I don't know." Yeah, that's my surfer voice. I'm sorry if that's offensive to any surfers in the room, right? But like the Lord isn't able to do much in that context. Not because he's not able to do much, but because we're not able or positioned to receive. We have built no on-ramps for him to get in. So here's the thing. This year, as we talk about the kingdom and God's desire to see his kingdom break in to the broken and fallen world that we live in, to renew and remake all things, starting with human beings and then trickling out from there. The Lord is looking for on-ramps into the world. And the on-ramp that he has chosen to go through is human beings. And the way that he is going to bring his presence into the world is through the Oxford tutorial method, where we apprentice under him in deep personal relationship. And we can either make on-ramp roads for him to get into our lives, or we can discourage him and give him nothing to work with. So here's what I know to be true. I've been thinking about this year for over a year now. I believe deeply that over the next 10 months, that the Lord will have specific invitations for you. Like, there's general knowledge in the Bible that all of us need to know and learn and get it. I understand. I'm with you on that. I'm not saying knowledge isn't good. I'm not saying content is bad. No, it's good. I'm just saying that there's a personal aspect to it, that in relationship with God, he has personal things for us. Asia's great. Bithynia is awesome. But Paul, I got something specific for you right now, brother. And thank you that you can hear me. Macedonia. He's going to have specific invitations for us that he would love to deliver to us. If we are able to receive it, if we are positioned in a way where he can actually speak these things into us. But not all apprentices are able to hear all of the invitations that the Lord is offering. So here's the first. The reason why we're doing the marriage weekend next weekend is because last year I had a deep sense that the Lord was wanting to turn the thermostat up on marriage. We live in a culture where marriages, by far, half of them are train wrecks. Of those that survive, many of them are not necessarily great. And so what do we do with that? I don't know. I think we got to give the Lord some on-ramps into our marriages where we can allow Him to minister to us in such a way that our marriages might actually become more the kingdom of God on earth and less the tragic mess of the earth that we tend to live in. And so as this year launched in, here was my thought. I just had a sense, like, Lord, would you give us 25 couples from Garden City that would say, I'm in. My marriage is pretty good. My marriage is awesome. My marriage is a train wreck. I don't care where you're at, but 25 couples would say, yeah, I want to get myself in that space as an apprentice of Jesus, and I want to give Him an on-ramp into my marriage because I know that He wants to do things there. And so that's what we're doing next weekend, Friday evening, all day Saturday. It's a commitment. Hey, but you got to live with your spouse for the rest of your life, right? It's worth an evening and a day. It just might make life a little bit better, right? When the kingdom of God breaks into a marriage, it just gets better. Full, abundant living in the context of marriage. God's for that. I'd love that. I'm guessing at least 25 of you couples would appreciate that. And so that's the invitation. Right? The Oxford tutorials next weekend, who's in? Right? Sign up. Come on. It's free. It's a gift because we believe in it that much. In addition to that, like, love to see 25 single people who believe at some point the Lord has marriage for them, right? Meaning that you're single, but you're not like gifted in the special New Testament way to be single. Some of you are. You don't need to come. You can. You don't need to. But if you're single and you have a sense that maybe marriage is in your future, I want to see 25 singles come. Because it will be a download that you will receive relationally, interpersonally. And then it will like sit and incubate in you over time and help prepare you to actually have a better marriage when it comes. And we'll trust Him with that timing. Don't be weird and try to speed it up too soon. Like, be patient. But like, we'll prepare your heart for that context. Give Him an on-ramp to prepare you for that. 25 couples, 25 singles, would love to see like a host of people who are not a part of Garden City and do not know Jesus, but you know them, you work with them, you neighbor with them, you coach with them, you knit with them. Would love to see people who are far from Jesus receive an invitation to come to a marriage seminar that I think will be really good to just start that dialogue with them about God and life and all things. Like, what a cool thing that would be, to give on-ramps, right, for other people where they can get into the space where the Lord could interpersonally meet and minister to them. As the year goes on, I'm just dropping seeds in what's to come later. Some of the personal invitations that I have a sense the Lord will invite some of you into. No to Asia, no to Bithynia, right? Somebody's going to Asia, somebody's going to Bithynia, not you. The Lord's got Macedonia for you. Right? For some of us this year, like, the Lord is going to say, hey, it's time to get healthy. It's time to like start leaning into your physical health. And we've got some people around here who like have expertise in so many levels. We can go Oxford tutorial with you, and we want to do that. And for those of you who the Lord is going to say, let's start working on that body. Let's get it going, right? We want you to be able to hear that and then say yes to that. And then start moving and seeing the kingdom of God break into your physical health. What a cool thing. For some of you, your finances is going to be the thing, right? Not for some of you, you're like, I'm good. I feel like I'm in a great spot. For some of you, the Lord is going to give you a personal, or I should say this, the Lord wants to give you a personal invitation to stepping into your financial world and bringing His kingdom into your financial world, right, on earth as in heaven. And I'd love for us to be able to hear that And when we hear that invitation, I would love for us to faithfully respond, just like Paul did, right? The Lord said, Paul, Macedonia. And after they saw the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, right? When the Lord gives you the call for finances, immediately you start moving in it. And we're going to have a class later this year. And we've got experts who would love to Oxford style tutor you in the kingdom art of money and money management, right? And then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a teaser. Like, but the Lord, I think this year, because he does this all the time with his little apprentices, he will give specific, timely, pertinent to you and your development and your current context invitations where he wants to specifically minister to you and grow you as his disciples. The question is, are we the apprentices that turn the dial up and give God something to work with? Or are we those that, hey, dude, God, what do you want to do? I'm ready. Come on, show me something cool, dude. Right? Can't work with that. Band, come on back up. We're going to sing just a little bit more. This will be the last week here where we're doing the apprenticeship is the pathway to the kingdom. We're going to talk about the kingdom a lot this year in so many different ways. Super excited. And then next week, Pastor Coach Kemp is going to come and lead us in a two-week series. I'm excited about it. The cake that we're going to eat and receive next week has been baking in Kemp's heart for several months now. But yeah, I'm excited about good things that the Lord is doing and wants to continue to do here. I just want to make sure that we don't miss it. Tolkien's the master. Astrophysicist Oxford person is the master. I just want to make sure that when we step into the room with Jesus, who is the master in the art and skill of full-on living, I just want to make sure that we're positioned to be able to receive. And that comes down to us. So to that end, I'm going to pray for us and we're going to sing. And then confidently and with faith, we're going to step into the rest of this year and receive what he has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are not theological material to be mastered. Father, I took systematic theology. I took three classes of it. And I've read the books, and I always had a little bit of a hard time with it. And you are who you are, and we want to study you and understand you and knowledge. You reveal knowledge, and it is helpful. But Father, knowledge of you is not the end game. Relationship with you is. And so to that end, Father, would you engage each of us in an Oxford-style tutorial that you were the originator of? Oxford just borrowed it from you. But Father, would you draw each of us into an Oxford-style tutorial where we can learn from you how to live full-on, kingdom-abundant lives. And Father, in that tutorial, would you help us to hear the specific invitations that you are giving us in a timely way so that we would not miss a thing that you are seeking to give to us. Father, thank you that you are the master. We are the 101 student. That's a safe position for us to be in. But Father, we just want to be good students. Would you draw us in? Would you quicken our hearts and our minds? Would you bend our will to long and to love learning under you in the family business of learning how to live well? So we give you the next several minutes here as we sing to download on us, to tutor us, to minister to us, even as we're singing to you. And we'll step into the rest of this year just firmly believing that you have more. Make us those who are able to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.